Hi, I'm Dean Koontz. Welcome to my podcast. I call this one High Pain Threshold. I've been told over the years by doctors of mine that I have a high pain threshold because I don't like anesthetic unless I absolutely have to have it. For brain surgery, I'm sure I would have it. But for dental surgery, unless it gets into full teeth implants, or for other things, I tend to like to get by with just a local anesthetic and just a little Novocaine or something, and sometimes not even that. Why I don't like general anesthesia or even twilight sleep is because I worry about losing brain cells, which I need desperately to do my work, and because I drink wine with dinner every night, I've probably lost more brain cells than I can afford to have lost already. Now, most of you who have been with me a long time as readers know I have more hair these days than I used to have. And many years before I actually had it done, I thought about hair transplants, and I did research deeply into them. I found the best guy in the world to do it, who had a totally different kind of procedure, and I almost committed three different times, but each time that I would talk with him about it, he said, "Now, you understand this is going to take about a year or more than a year, and there's going to be a lot of pain." Well, even if I do have a high pain threshold, I don't thrive on pain, and the idea of having a year of head pain was not very appealing to me. So I waited and I waited and I waited, and we came to a time in my life where the doctor had gotten much better at it and it didn't take as long. And I one day went to a new dentist because I didn't think I was getting good dental care. And I went to a new dentist who examined me and said, "You're correct. Has your dentist not told you that you're brushing away your gums?" I didn't even know you could brush away your gums. I was an industrious toothbrusher because my mother had always said, "You've got to brush your teeth every night before bed." So I would spend a lot of time brushing very hard with a stiff bristled brush. And as a consequence, I'd worn my gums away from my teeth and I was in danger of losing my teeth. So I was recommended to a periodontist and he examined me and he said, "We're going to have to sew grafts over a lot of your gums, over a lot of your teeth. We're going to have to do gum grafts to keep you from losing your teeth." Well, I sat in that chair thinking about this for a moment, and my first thought was, oh my God, they take the gums out of corpses and sew them into your mouth. And I knew after about 10 seconds that didn't make any sense at all. And the only thing I could think of, I looked at him and said, "Oh, I know where you must be taking this from," because I did know that there's parts of your body where tissue will regrow, and one of them is the roof of your mouth and parts of the roof of your mouth. And I said, "Tell me you're not going to cut tissue out of the roof of my mouth and sew it over my gums." And he said, "That's exactly what we're going to do. And it's going to take 18 months because we can only do one quarter of your mouth at a time because you always have to have half your mouth that you can use for eating." So I thought about that a little bit, and I had no choice. I had to go through 18 months of gum grafts. And I walked out of that dental office and went home and called the hair transplant guy and said, "You know what? I think I'm going to be going through some other painful processes that will make your work seem like nothing whatsoever." And that's exactly what happened. I went through 18 months of gum grafts, did the hair at the same time, and never felt a thing in my head because my mouth was in such a bad condition for 18 months. But we got to the end of the 18 months, and there was one tooth they couldn't save that they were going to have to pull because it kept getting abscessed. So my periodontist said, "Come into the office at 5:30, and I'll pull it at the end of the day, and you'll be out of here before 6 o'clock, and you can go to dinner." And I said, "Really?" And he said, "Oh yeah, that'll be no problem at all. I'll pull it out, you go to dinner, I will just stitch up the gum, and you eat on the other side of your mouth. You've been doing that for 18 months anyway, so it'll be no different." So I went into the periodontist's office at 5:30, and he said, "This is it's a back tooth. It's going to have some deep roots. What if I give you some Novocaine for this?" And I said, "No, because then I won't be able to go directly to dinner, and we were supposedly meeting somebody for dinner." And he said, "Well, so are we, and I'm happy to get it done even quicker if you're willing to sit through it without Novocaine." And I said, "Fine." So he pulled the tooth, got in there, twisted around with whatever they use. I'm sure they don't call them pliers, but that's what they feel like. And suddenly there was a wrenching and a letting go, and I knew he pulled the tooth out. And he put it aside, and then he said, "Hmm." Now, you don't like to hear a periodontist say, "Hmm." It's only one step from uh-oh. And he wanted to look in my mouth some more, and he was in there probing around and looking. And he said, "Well, this is a little unusual. I've been a periodontist for many years, and this has only happened to me 20, 25 times over all those years." He said, "Your roots of your tooth were fused to the bone. So when I pulled the tooth, the roots broke off, and they're still in there. So I have to go back in and get every root out." And I said, "Well, how is that going to be done?" He said, "Well, I'm going to have to drill each root out, and I'm probably going to have to pick some of them out and knock them out by hand, or rattle them out," however he said it. And I said, "I think I'll take that Novocaine now." And he set to work, and he said, "This will take a little while." Well, it took 3 hours. I sat in the chair at 5:30, and he finished extracting the last bit of root at 8:30 at night. He had to cancel his dinner. We had to cancel ours. And I was sitting in that chair under the influence of nothing more than Novocaine, but it did help a little bit. But when you're actually in the jawbone, Novocaine doesn't work all that well. And he kept saying, "I think I need to put you asleep for this." And I kept saying, "No, I'm not going to be put asleep for it. Just finish it." So he finished the entire procedure. Now remember, during these 18 months, I'd gotten new hair and or more hair. And I stood up from the chair, and after having sat in it for 3 hours, I needed to use the men's room. And I asked him, "Where is the men's room?" Because that's how I was talking. I didn't quite know why I was talking that way, because the tooth and roots were all out. But I went into the men's room and looked in the mirror. I knew why I was talking that way. The entire side of my head was swollen up as round as a hemisphere of a basketball. I didn't even know you have enough tissue in your temple to swell that much. But all the way up to the top of my head, I was swollen out like some character in a horror movie. And I looked just bizarre. But in addition to that, all the glorious hair that had been implanted was standing out like a fright wig, because the dentist had worked on me from every angle. So he looked like Christopher Lloyd, who played the scientist in Back to the Future, with all of my hair standing straight out at every angle, one side of my face swollen up like a basketball. And when I left the men's room, I kind of brushed at my hair, trying to make it look acceptable. And I went back out. My periodontist said to me, "You have the highest pain threshold of any patient that I've ever seen." And I'd heard that before. And he said, "But you know, there's a real bright side to this whole thing." And I said, "Well, what did that be?" And he said, "No matter how long you live and how many terrible dental things you may go through, nothing will ever be as bad as a fused tooth. So you've gotten the worst behind you." See, I didn't see this as really a bright side. The bright side would be that it had never happened in the first place. And I said to him, I won't do that funny voice. I said to him, "How likely is it that somebody has one fused tooth might have another?" And he said, "It'll never happen." I don't have to tell you that a few years later, when I had another extraction, it was also a fused tooth. This has been the Dean Kuntz Podcast. For more information like this, visit my website at deankuntz.com.